You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart now and always.
Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. I pray the Lord will help us to evaluate our lives as Christians and ask ourselves and say, God, what have I done for Your body? The best life is the one you live for God. The most productive life is the one you live for God. The most productive life. God can be honored. And men can say concerning you, I found God in you. I found God in you. Your life is a fragrance. I can smell, I can perceive that you are a man of God, a child of God. Sometimes we forget that. We believe the best life is one that God lives for us, to bless us, to give us, to help us, to heal us, to lift us, to promote us, to elevate us. It's all about us. That's why we relate with government the same way. Government's job is to help me, to give me, to bless me. So there's nothing giving back. It's a very, very dangerous way of living. It's not right. When you die and you go home, nobody will come to your grave. Nobody will say anything good about how you gave back. My vision is to give as much as I can to humanity, to people around me. Not money, my time, my resources, my ideas. Give back. Mahatma Gandhi gave. Nelson Mandela gave. So many unbelievers gave. They lived for others. Christianity is not a call to be selfish or self-centered. Give. Think about others. Think about the schools in our neighborhood that needs rehabilitation. How can we go there? How can we make an impact? Who knows the little child in that school that will get off, that will collect one or two gifts from our church and whose life will be better? We just need to think like that. I think we just need to change the way we think. Christianity can be boring if it's monotonous. It can be exciting if it's not. I pray that God will accept our praise, our worship. It's not what we give, it's what He accepts. He told Cain, I'm not accepting it. And He told Abel, I accept yours. God is sovereign. You can't tell me He has no choice. Oh, He's God. Today I want to teach on the anointing, but the dimension of the anointing I'll be teaching is hoping and praying that your life, you will see an area where you are anointed and He will use your anointing to bring glory to God. That's my prayer. That's my honest prayer. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And Luke chapter 4. Acts chapter 10. Verse number 38. Mara de kebo zende brane. Keduzo to brane de kebo je keke deba. In kurike zete brane. Eke de kebo zete braka de kebo jata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we worship you. Acts 10, verse number 38 says, how God anointed, please note the word anointed. I want to teach this morning. I want to teach. I'd like you to please take out your pens. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Please note the anointed. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through to verse 18. Luke chapter 4. And I was delivered to him of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, a recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Father, we pray you will open the eyes of our understanding today, that Lord, you will teach us, explain to us the mystery of the anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together for Jesus, you can sit down. We stopped teaching in church and we stopped growing, because the church no longer, you know, place emphasis on teaching ministry. So we stopped growing, because teaching aids and helps you to grow. It helps you to grow. Now, the word anointing has been abused. Christians don't even know a lot more about the word anointing. I would like you to take notes. It's a teaching ministry. Is that clear? There's nothing wrong with taking notes. The pastor approached me during the last week and said to me, sir, I've observed that our people don't take notes anymore. Maybe it's old school to take notes. Some prefer their phones to take notes. Write 3 things, 4 things you remember today. Go back home, open your notepads. Just refresh your memory. It's important. That's how you grow in faith. Now, the anointing is a subject that many people don't even understand anymore. I also have been, you know, I've taught something wrong about the anointing. We've only taught one side of the anointing. If I ask all of you here, how many of you are anointed? And you know for sure you are anointed. And in the area or areas, you are anointed. You will get different answers. Some may not even know they are anointed. Some may not even know they carry certain graces or anointings. So my aim this morning and this next 3-4 weeks during our first service is to teach about the anointing. Because I think that's probably why many of us are not doing the things we should do for God. Not in church, outside church. Because I'm sure you're shocked. Outside church? I thought the anointing is something the man of God will pour upon your head so that you can cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, and do wonders in the church, not outside the church. We've confined the usage, purpose of the anointing to within an assembly. Nobody thinks outside the assembly when we discuss the subject of the anointing. In fact, so many pastors run anointing services. I say, oh, just to anoint you. Anoint you. And so I'm going to try to explain it, of course, using the scriptures. And I'll be telling you something that you didn't know. I found that a few months ago, but I've not been able to even teach it. I've not studied it in depth, but I think it's right. I mean, I'm not, if I come back tomorrow to find that I'm wrong, I'll come and correct myself on this pulpit. Is that clear? But I think it's right. That's the area that I want to challenge all of you here in the marketplace. All of you here in business. All of you here handling things outside the church walls. So you can understand the areas that you should or you could be anointed. And you've ignored over the years. Because your understanding bias of anointing is to be a pastor, to be an apostle, to be a bishop, or to be in ministry. Now, when you think anointing, what comes to your mind is ministry. Yes or no? Yes or no? What comes readily to mind? Oh, anointing minister, anointing minister, anointing minister. And when you think ministry, what comes to mind is preacher. Oh, you missed that. The first thing, when you think anointing, what comes to your mind is ministry. Ministry. So anointing, synonymous to ministry. Money, synonymous to banking. Yahoo, synonymous to scamming. or there are scammers in church. There are pastors also scamming you. No. It's Yahoo Yahoo that scam. Oh no, there are scammers behind the pulpit also scamming you. Because you have to understand it was scam. Outside laptops and those boys. We just have a way of just fixing some things and attaching it to some other things. In our minds, when you just think this, you immediately plug it with that. So when I say anointing, you immediately plug it with this. If I say next month I want to do a special service to anoint all of you, I'm not coming. Well, I don't want to do ministry. That's what comes to your mind. I don't want to be a pastor. So I don't want to be anointed. I'm not interested in prophesying. I'm not interested in raising the dead, casting out the devils. Let the pastors go and do that. That's their own job. I don't need the anointing because I don't want to do it. So you have to understand that the anointing is more than that. And there's a scripture that should shake you first. Then I'm going to throw that scripture in to make you think differently first. Then I'm going to come back to explain that scripture later. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27. While I was growing up as a youth in church, I ran into that scripture in 1 John and I threw it away because I didn't understand it. You know, you run into something, you don't get it, you throw it away. Several years after, I became a preacher. I ran into it again, I threw it away because I don't like the literal interpretation of that scripture. The literal explanation, I don't like it. Because that means I will not be needed anymore in church. That means we won't need these guys anymore in church. It says, but the anointing which you have received. Now, there's a receiving of the anointing of him, of God, abides in you. Somebody say, in you. No, please notice, say, in you. No, shout, in you. Not on you. Because the concept of the anointing is what comes on you. You pour oil on. You don't pour oil in. Now, this is a different anointing. In you. Somebody shout, in you. I'm going to explain it to you later. Not now. But I want to throw it so you can, first of all, change you. What are you telling me? What is anointing? So you can understand. Because immediately I say anointing, the picture that comes to your mind is somebody pouring oil on you. But I want to change that. If I can change that concept, then I have achieved my goal this morning. Next week, we cannot discuss other things. No, go back. If I can just change the way you think about something, because if I can't change you here, I can't change your practice. Go, you see, if I can change you here, I can change your practice. If I can change you here, I change you here. If I change the way you think, because of the way you believe. If you now believe with your heart, you don't believe with your head, you believe with your heart. Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believes. With the mind, man thinks. You think here, you believe here. Sometimes it's what you think here that strengthens this. Sometimes what you believe here changes this. Christianity is here. For with the heart, man believes. Faith is here. Sometimes here fights here. Did you get that? Sometimes here fights here. To know a Christian is a person that lets this rules, not this. Secular people say, no, I think what I believe is wrong. So I'd rather throw my belief away and work with my thinking. Because rational. But a Christian says, I believe Jesus died, rose from the dead. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Does that make sense? Then that is faith. I cannot explain it, but I believe it. You tell me about God. Which God? Okay, how is God? How old is God? I cannot rationalize it. I believe it. I believe there's God. It's here, faith. But if you have to believe what you agree here, you can't walk with God with your senses. But this is powerful. Oh, this is still powerful. Don't ignore this. This thing determines what we do. Most times, because many of you don't have this belief, faith. You have this. But without faith, no man can please God. Not without reasoning. That's why you can be a professor and not a possessor. Do you get it, man? And many of us try to walk with God with this. It's not a problem. And it doesn't make sense. You throw it away. In fact, they say, common sense. If I give my 10%, what are you going to do with it? What is tithe? Does it belong to him? It's not a church. Okay, how is God taking that tithe? Does God come down from heaven and collect it? All those things, I don't agree with it. Who's asking you to agree with it? It's working for some, it's not working for you. That's why we can't blow fish. And so the church needs to start teaching more, letting people believe here, because this is where faith works. It is here, it's your heart. Romans 10, with the heart, man believes. Don't you ever forget that, not with the head. I'm trying to teach with the what? Man, what? Is it with the head? Heart. It's heart. It's heart. I believe a good man. No matter what they say to me about you, I believe it. But if I don't believe it, and what I've heard here, my thinking, it will determine my actions towards you. But if my heart believes it, Romans 10, it says, with the mouth, confession is made. So you see, because the heart believes, the mouth confesses. Let me change it for you. Watch me. Write it down. Because the heart believes, or conviction here, confession works. If you confess without conviction, futility, nothing will happen. God bless you, man. They say, I'm ill. Okay, I'm healed. I don't believe it, though. I'm healed. They lie, you. You will not be healed. Because your confession lacks conviction. Your confession lacks what, man? Can anybody, do you think anybody in this world can tell me that God's not with me? No, me, I don't know about you, me. I believe. Sham. Give me another word for bosa. Go Greek, bam. I don't know. Sham, I believe. Sir, God with you, we are going through crisis. Crisis cannot tell me God is not with me. I don't know about you. Me, from what I've gone through with him and what he has stood by me, it becomes a conviction. So your confession works along the line of your conviction. With the heart, man believes, conviction. Therefore, with the mouth, man confesses. And that's how faith works. Because I've seen church teaching you to just confess, even when you don't believe. I say to work. It doesn't work like that. Your confession will not produce your salvation. The Greek word is sozo. Sozo means healing, help, deliverance. It's a word that encompasses many acts of freedom, liberties. You get it? That's the Greek word. Sozo. S-O-Z-O. Then you're saved. Then you're saved. Praise God. So let me go back to my thought on what? The anointing. 1 John 2 says to us that there's anointing within. Yes or no? No. How? You need not. No. Look at this. It was, I threw that passage out of the, I hate that passage. I don't like it. Because if many of you people that don't understand scripture, read this scripture, you stop coming to church. It says, you have need not. You don't need that any man teach you. So therefore, Pastor Teru, sack all the pastors in photo. Why? Hallelujah. It's not the way Pastor Jackson said it. Pastor Jackson said it the way those rebels say it. I have the anointing on the inside. So they go around. Who is Reverend Kasali? I have the anointing here. Everybody's anointed. I have no need for teacher anymore. You have no need that any man teach you. But as the same anointing, wow, teaches you all things. Aha, you see, she's even emphasizing it, and it's truth. And it's no lie. Even as it has taught you, you should abide in him. confusing scripture, isn't it? You have the anointing inside you. Hallelujah. If MDI tries to teach you music, fight him. Everybody here, MDI, you can't teach them anymore. Music. They have the anointing inside them. What are you telling me? You need no teacher. MDI, you are hereby sacked. As our MD. By engineer, not me. Is that you that sack you? All of you sack him. Joel, you have the anointing inside you. Am I right? You can take the keys anyhow. Off key, in key, how key, walk key, union key, jack key. He's supposed to tell me he wants to take his own key, anointing. So, we have anarchy. Because anybody, you know, we all don't need teachers anymore. But what he's saying there is what I'm going to teach you today. Wow, it's deep, John Paul. It's deep. Oh, my. Number one, let's agree that the word anointing is much more than just pouring something on. You can have it in. Is that, do we agree? No, let's start. Do we agree? Why? The Bible says so. The Bible says so. That word is not charisma, it's chrisma. Chris, not charis. But it's of the family of grace. I told you the word charis is grace. Charismata. Now, it's Chris. So the anointing can just be God's grace on the inside of you. Something inside. I'm going somewhere. Please just stick with me. Especially for those of you that are not clergymen. That think, all of you think. And this is very deep, that the anointing is only meant for clergy. It's not true. We've been deceived. I deceived you for years to make you think the word anointing is a tool that only clergymen use. Well, I didn't know that this God is bigger, that he loves non-clergymen as well. He loves you. He loves all of you technocrats here. All entrepreneurs, all technocrats, all businessmen here need the anointing. I will teach you how and where. So that when you have the anointing in certain areas, grace, on the side. Watch me. No man will teach you in that area. Because the grace, oh God, makes you excel in media than others. Was Daniel anointed? Was Joseph anointed? Where did they pop oil on him? No, it's not. You're getting it. Because if you keep defining it with just this, inside. I get inside. Because our head needs to begin to change. Because if you don't change it here, you keep having crises in understanding what I'm saying. Do you get my point now? Some fine technocrats in the scriptures that had grace or anointing inside. Aholia, Bezalel. God said, this building that you built for me, that Moses, I will give you some men that are uniquely skilled, wisdom from inside. They are the best in their craft. Woo. When they start to build, they will beat anybody. But where would they get ideas from? University? No. There's an anointing. It's inside. Okay, let me first start by defining the anointing, because I'm already going to my answer. So you can see where I'm going to today. So are you people thinking, the man is understanding the anointing, pouring oil on somebody? Where was Jesus anointed with oil? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. So if you think the anointing is only with oil, then Christ was never anointed. There was nowhere in the entire Bible where oil was poured on Jesus. Yet, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. And with power. On him, in him. Do you get the point? On him, in him. Okay. Because this is a mystery of the anointing. And the reason we don't see the anointing in us, as marketplace leaders, as technocrats, I'll give you today. The reason we don't see the anointing in us Please, I want to make sure I don't exceed my time because this is first service. We have communion, second service. Ma, the reason, I'm going to tell you the answer today. Honestly, it's annoying me. Very much annoying me. The reason we don't see the anointing, we never see or think or believe or even know that God may have anointed us or may want to anoint us. Watch me within. Can I tell you why? Watch me. Because the anointing is meant for ministry. Wait, I'm going somewhere. And you never see ministry outside church. Daniel saw himself in the palace in ministry. Our thinking of ministry is warped. Ministry means Christian service, diakonos, to serve God. So I can say, my wife, yes, you are in Mobile, yes. The director, yes. Make sure while in Mobile, you are also in ministry. There was a guy called Mordecai. He had to come to remind Esther. Esther, the reason you are in the palace is for ministry. It's not for rice and chicken. She actually forgot. What is ministry? Serving God. So she immediately changed. Wait. Are you telling me they're about to kill my people? Yes. And I'm in this position today, yes. I never thought this position, I thought it was simply political. I didn't know it could be used for ministry. Okay, you know what? Gather Israel. Fast 3 days, I will break the law. Nobody should see the king. God will go with me. And if I perish, I perish. I change my mind from today. I will use my position to serve God. I will think like ministry. I thought ministry means holding microphone and casting out devils. No. You can establish the kingdom of God in that company, in that office, in that industry, in that area. Ministry. Christian service, serving God. So you have an anointing within that will help you to excel, because when you talk, you become an authority. Men respect authorities in certain areas. So what that anointing does in 27 is that no man teach you, because you become an authority in certain things. Once you're an authority, like Wole Soyinka, you cannot begin to use your authority, anointing within, to establish his kingdom. Use your authority to establish his authority. Ministry. Am I communicating? Am I making sense? Or you are confused? Did you get the point now? But we never see it. We see ministry as carrying microphone alone, or singing, or doing ushering. It's more than that. It simply means Christian service. So out there, you can change your thinking cap from today. Say to yourself, I'm in ministry. On Monday morning, when I go to work, when I open my shop, I'm in ministry. I'm going to use this shop to build God's kingdom. Oh, wait a minute. There's nothing Christ here. I'm going to put a cross here. When they come, I'm going to make sure I'm sensitive as I'm selling my wares, making my money. I'm looking for opportunity to bring God's kingdom in. Not just to witness or preach, but to use my life to show patience, to show love, to show things. And people say, because of this, auntie, you know, they will start coming to me too when two people are fighting, go and meet and she'll help you resolve it. You're in ministry. You have to start seeing ministry outside carrying a microphone and beating it everywhere you go to. It's more than that. Daniel was in ministry. Joseph was in ministry. Joseph, the best ministry Joseph did was prison ministry. Even when he was in prison, he was thinking ministry. He was wired. His mind was always, how can I serve? How can I bring God's glory in? Somebody had a dream. Let me interpret it for you. And this is God that gave me the gift, actually. With God, by Jehovah. But let me just tell you this. He was helping. He was bringing God in. Inserting God. Because all the anointing he had in here, nobody could teach him how to interpret. It was the anointing that helped him to function in that area. The anointing. He was the best interpreter of dreams. Why? No man could teach him. It's not something you acquire with knowledge. Because it's your anointing. You don't acquire it. Because it's been imparted into you. So you wonder why he says you don't need them to teach you. Because there's something in you that makes you uniquely different in your craft. Am I communicating? Where do you get all your ideas from when you do your makeup? It's an anointing. Oh, I don't understand. But did you learn it from a house of that, a house of this? No, I just went to one small place and all of a sudden the creativity keeps coming. But you don't understand that there's something in you that's even teaching you how to mix colors, teaching you how to excel, teaching you to the point where you will not need another man to teach you. Why? So that another man will not take the glory. But God, because they will say, how did you do it? Even you will say, I don't know. Now God, because you can't lie. And no man can say, I taught him. Taught in code. Because no man will teach, because the anointing will teach you to excel in your place of work. You will solve problems for your bosses. There's a crisis, you walk in. Hey, she's just coming. Just coming, dickiness, come and tell us. When the crisis is in, what do we do? Let's calm down. Why don't we shut down that factory, this factory, that place? We will see there'll be peace. And they do it. Peace. How did you know? I don't know. Something on the inside of me just told me, do this. It's the anointing. It guides you. It gives you wisdom. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, excellence, counsel, Isaiah 11. Spirit of counsel. But we always don't think we need God outside. I think ministry is for where? The church walls. So we keep thinking, oh, I'm in ministry, I'm in church walls. So you are, Psalm 78, you are limiting the Holy One of Israel. We have limited God. What God wants to do through us, we have limited Him. We have limited God. What He wants to do through you. Because you are wasting the presence on the inside. The anointing is God's presence on you and in you. Write it down. The anointing is God's presence, Pastor Tolu, on you and in you. God's presence on you and in you. I repeat it. God's supernatural power to enable you to do something with so much ease, without being taught, without being trained, without being tutored. Oh, that guy is an anointed speaker. Brother Kasali is an anointed preacher. How do you know? He opens scriptures, we don't understand it. Me, I don't understand how I know it. Me, I don't know. It's the anointing. It shows that I can't take credit. I can't take credit because I didn't study it. No Bible school man taught me. I'm not lying to you. So it shows you. You need. So it's not that, this man taught me this thing I'm teaching you. So this I teach you that you find I don't know. But it shows that this man is called of God. Yeah, but he didn't go to Harvard. Tell your business. He went to Heaven's Harvard. The Harvard I went to, you have not gone there. My own Harvard is my own Harvard. Heaven's Harvard. You can't attend the Harvard. You know, you can't attend the Harvard and you fail in life. Heaven teach you. God train you. God raise you. God Almighty. Our Father in the Lord, Pastor Adeboye, went to a good university, but when he went to Heaven's Harvard, look at what that one turned him to. Heaven's Harvard turned Baba into something that's all over the world. You better attend Heaven's Harvard. Make God your teacher, not man. Some of my children here are looking for mentors. They will mentor them in music ministry. And they've left the Holy Ghost aside. May Frank Edwards see me. May Cobham help me. May Dusin help lift me. May, who lifted Dusin? Who lifted Frank Edward? Who lifted those boys or those men you want to go and meet? Meet him. He will lift you too. He has not resigned. He's still working. Go, no resign. Are you getting something? Because I'm not talking to those of you that want to do ministry like me and Jackson and Yinka. Those of you that think there's no ministry outside church walls, let's teach you the anointing. Is the presence, what's the anointing? Is the supernatural power of God or presence of God that enables someone to do supernatural things in life through the help of the Holy Spirit? That's it. That's the anointing. Something that you have, you can tell is the Holy Ghost, enables you to do supernatural things. In other words, when I say supernatural, don't get it wrong. I'm not saying wonders. Wonders are supernatural. But there are other things that are not wonders, yet they are supernatural. Superior to natural. Sir, my understanding of supernatural is to cast out devils. How many devils did Daniel cast out? Yet he did something supernatural. I've never heard of it in my life. To come and meet a man to say, sir, this is the dream you had. No, not to interpret the dream. I'm not the one that slept. You slept. You had a dream. You forgot your dream. You say, who can remind me? The wise man told the king, Nebuchadnezzar, if you want to kill us, kill us. There is no man on earth, Daniel, they told him, chapter 3, that can answer you what you are requesting. He said, no man, tell us your dream. We will come together and interpret it. You are saying we should go and tell us your dream. How can we tell your dream? You are not slept. We didn't sleep. You had a dream. You are not telling me to come and tell you. Oga, if you want to kill us, kill us. Let's know you hate us. Because you are looking for an excuse to kill us. The man said, I've forgotten my dream. If you cannot tell me my dream, all of you go and die. Even that man said, the request is too unusual. They said in chapter 3. They said, if you go and read in chapter 3, they said, no man on earth. Chapter 2, no man on earth can explain that dream to you. It's not possible. There was a man at a different level who had an anointing within. He said, sir, don't kill us in a hurry. Let me go and pray. He went to Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Let's see God's face. There's nothing God cannot do. He didn't cast out devils, but he did something supernatural. Something supernatural, superior to natural. And he came, oh king, I have found your secret. I know your dream. How? But he didn't sleep with me. He didn't sleep in my sleep. Superior to natural should not always be wonders and miracles. It's simply superior to natural. It's not the way natural things work. Because change that as well today. What Joseph did was superior to natural. He came and he said, this is the interpretation of your own dream. There'll be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. I would suggest, sir, that you should please save during the years of plenty. So when the years of famine comes, he said, I didn't even know you have this. You can interpret dreams. I ask you for interpretation of dream. You gave me not only the interpretation, you gave me the solution. Then who else should fix it? You come and fix it for me. The answer he gave was superior to natural answers. And he solved it. So supernatural does not mean what you call wonders. So you know, our idea of wonder is just to slap somebody and devil come out. That's not only wonders. We like that, you know, gira gira. Africans like gira gira. Africans like it. Oh, my time is up and I've not even scratched my surface. You see, it's deep. I don't want to rush it. It's the anointing. I want you to hit this communion today, to partake and say, Lord, as I take this, Lord, please, Heavenly Father, your servant has taught us the different dimension of the anointing. I didn't know that you can anoint me within, so that in an area, I will not need any man to teach me. Rather, I will have gifts. I will have understanding. Lord, I will have insights into issues around me. I will solve problems. I will dissolve puzzles. Father, I take this communion today to reactivate, to reawaken the anointing within me. Show me the area of my strength. Lord, I participate with your body and your blood. Let this wake me up on the inside. I'm tired of sleeping on the inside. And you then begin to walk out. You find out in the office tomorrow. You find out in your shop tomorrow. Things begin to happen. God begins to show you things. You begin to say things that wonder, where did you come from? What did you drink? Are you on drugs? Because you become another man. Put your hands together for Jesus. You become another man. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when the anointing came upon Saul, the Bible says he became another man. The anointing will change you. It makes you another man. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10, from verse 1, it says they poured oil on him though. He now went, and when the Spirit came upon him, he joined the prophets and he became another man. Go back to verse 10. Who is in media? Let's go to verse 10 so we can see. And he became, he said, he will be upon you. He became another man. Go to verse 10. And when they came there to the company of prophets, saw him, the Spirit of God came upon him, he prophesied amongst them. Verse 11. And it came to pass that all that saw him before time saw that he prophesied among the prophets. People said, what has become this guy? What kind of person is this? Next verse. Quickly, I want to read it because I want us to become another man. They're going to pray because my time is up, really, frankly. And it says what again? His son also become one of the prophets. He wasn't. He did things that he never did before. And when I made an end of the prophesying, he came down to the place. Yes. Bible says the girl gave him also another heart. Check that out. Another heart, another man. I think it's verse 9. Quickly. Go back to verse 9. Verse 6 to 9. Give me 6 to 9. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Thou shalt prophesy with them. And thou shalt turn into what? I want to be another man. And God will give you another heart. I don't want them to see you as the former you. Let them say, Pastor Molade is different. Why? Has she grown taller? No. Has she grown lighter? No. We don't understand, but she's not the one we used to know. There's something that, have you observed it since the last 6 months? Everything she says, it's like answers to her problems. Another person. It's anointing. Another man. Another man. It will change you. Not that you grow taller, shorter, bigger, or richer. He wasn't richer. There wasn't even a king then. Look at David. When the anointing came upon him, another boy. How could a boy fight a Goliath? Another boy. You can't carry it and you're the same. You can't tell me you have it and you're still the same. Something should change. Go back to verse 9, 10. Verse 9, give me verse 9. Because, see, verse 9, I like verse 7, 8, 9. Because it's another man. Something happens. And it was so when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him one. Another heart means that the affections, your passions, the things you used to like, you don't like them anymore. Your heart changes. I used to like drinking, I stopped liking drinking. Another heart. Heart is the place where your desires are. You just find out, you don't like to drink with them anymore, smoke with them anymore. Why? I have another heart. Pursuits. My pursuits are now different. My desires. Another man, another heart. But you say you're anointed. You don't have another heart. You say, have your old heart. You're not another man. Let's go and analyze your anointing. Another heart. Praise God. So, it is supernatural power of God that brings the presence of God upon a man. Samson in Judges 16 verse 20, Pastor Gilly, Samson was an ordinary man without the anointing. I didn't know. Judges 16 verse 20, he says, I will rise like other times. I will strike. And he wished not that the Holy Ghost had departed from him. He did not know that the anointing had left. You become ordinary without it. You are extraordinary with it. Not all of you should begin with anointing to be on the pulpit. That's what I'm saying. You become extraordinary with it. Without it, you are simply an ordinary man. I want you to drop a burden in your heart to pray for the anointing within. Because Jesus said in John 16 that you have the paracletos in you, not just on you. The anointing comes on us truly. In the Old Testament, you find it on the kings, the prophets, and the priests. In the Old Testament, the kings are not supposed to be the priests. The priests work in the house. The kings work outside the house of God. So it means you're supposed to be kings out there. Out there, not politics. different areas to go and rule and reign in education, in entertainment. He has made you kings and priests. A king simply means a ruler. Rule and reign in your own turf. Find an area and say, God, anoint me within. I want to be kings. So the anointing came upon them in those areas. It came upon. But also within. Is it within I wanted to explain today? And I hope I've done it so you can begin to say, I didn't realize it's not just to cast out devils, but you can even actually have the anointing on the inside of you. As I say, God, show me the area of my anointing so that I can function in that area. Could you please rise to your feet, everybody? Can you please pray for just 1 minute? I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know what. Ask God. I don't know what you do. I don't know the area where you probably. Some of you already know where you're anointed, but you just don't know how to release the anointing. You need to know how to release it.